PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Guys, welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, and we're chilling in the Crespediso studio with Drew Sakagwa. Drew?
Man, it's almost like I've heard this before. It's so weird. Like I'm having wicked deja vu, man.
Wiki deja vu? Is that the new Wikipedia offshoot where if you think you're experiencing something again, you go to Wiki deja vu and you do a search. Uh-huh. Like, I think I saw that cat before. Do Correct. A search, and then it pops up. Like, oh my God!
Glitch in the Matrix, and then immediately they come in and they kill you.
So don't go to the web. Don't confirm your...
No, do. Please.
Do. Oh,
do us all a favor.
Drew is, in a mood. Guys, bonus...
a life mood.
Fair enough. Bonus episode, here we go. Before we do anything, a reminder, the PFT Media Party is at the Copper Rocket March 24th from 5 to 9 p.m. I know that there is a lot going on here in Orlando. Even there's Pints and Paws in Sanford. There's an Alice Cooper concert in town, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot going on.
We're competing with that shit.
We're competing with that. But we're just having a good time. It's going to be a party from 5 to 9. From 6 to 8, AJ and Evolution's going to be playing. Our PFT Media Magnets came in today, and we're going to be giving away 100 of them.
They look pretty sweet, dude.
They look pretty sweet. So we're going to give away 100 of our new magnets with our new logo. And come out for that. We're also going to have when AJ's going to take his little break, so he can't play for 2 hours straight. You know, dude's going to need to take a break, drink a sip of water, 15 minutes here or there, right? When he does that, Simon Time's going to grab the mic, jump up on stage, and we're going to do impromptu trivia, like live trivia, pulling people out of the crowd.
Ba-dum-bum, ba-dum-bum.
What?
He's just going to grab people out of the crowd?
Yeah.
Like you! You're playing trivia.
Well, no, what we're going to do is we're standing up there, like, who wants to play? Come on up here. And it's like, you know, when he does a tiebreaker style real quick, like raise your hand, I'll call on you. We're going to have Copper Rocket stuff to give away. They even said, they confirmed that they're going to throw in some $10 gift cards to the Copper Rocket. Sweet. We're going to have, they also have koozies and stuff. What's the fuss? Those fellas will be there. Rocky will be giving away koozies. I think he's just giving away. That's not even a prize to win. You can get some of those. And we're working with Get Rad Records, punk rock record label. Eat the Elderly, Bill's band that he was in. They're part of Get Rad Records.
Nice.
They're donating some stuff to as a giveaway as well. So we're going to be giving away tons of stuff. And also the Copper Rocket folks confirmed that we'll have some sort of beer special there. Or drink special, I should say, for nice. Sure. So we got a lot going on. We're going to have live music, live trivia, prizes to give away. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be really relaxing. A lot of our podcasters will be there. So come say hi and hang out and get a magnet and then put it in your car because that's advertising.
Hooray!
We even put our website on there.
You did?
Because it was easy.
I mean, you got plenty of room.
Plenty of room. Shout outs to Eddie Bass for creating that thing. He's great. The guy is a talent, a great local talent that people should utilize. All right. Now, due to Gmail fuckery, Billy D sent us an email last weekend. Yeah, it was some real Google fuckery. He sent us Billy D's death in the movies. We never even got it. So, let's do it now.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Ow! You're metal, dude! Totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, it's time for Billy D's Death of the Movies. Death of the Movies. He is our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado. He knows most things. And he hits us up. So, Drew, take it away.
What is it, my dudes?
What's up, Bill?
It's been a long couple of weeks, but I am back. Since the last time we spoke, I've seen Black Panther, some trashy horror films, and more trashy horror films. Now that Black Panther has crossed a Billy... This Billy has some words about it.
Oh, ba-dum-dum. I don't have a ba-dum-dum.
It's pretty fucking great. This cast is pretty great. The story is pretty great. The sets, all three of them, were pretty great. And the CGI was pretty not great. At first, I thought Bozeman was boring. Then I realized he's a king, and he's a good king. Mm. So he's not like some of the other Avengers who have more of an emotional push to be heroes. Mm-hmm. Black Panther is just protecting his country and his people like he's trained to do his whole life.
It's a duty of responsibility.
Good thing Michael B. Jordan was electrifying to watch.
Oh, yeah.
And I would say the first great bad guy in the MCU.
Oh, wow.
The first great, wow.
His arc was complex and made sense. You wanted them to actually find a way to compromise. Thank the Panther gods that this comic book series, so he won't be gone for long. I like that the story was contained, but I didn't like how small Wakanda felt. I wanted more, which isn't bad, I just wanted more. My big complaint is that the fight sequences looked like cutscenes from a video game. Last Generation's video games, to be exact.
Boom! Take that!
More like the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies. Something very weightless and smooth about the whole, all of the CG that distracted me. More Wakanda, more Killmonger, and one or two more render passes on the CG would have tipped this into X2/Dark Knight/Logan territory. Sadly, it's just as good as the best MCU movies, which is pretty fucking great. While up in the mountains, it rained for days, so I stayed in watching movies, and ooh boy, I caught an interesting DTV sequel that had me laughing and cringing with disbelief. Wrong Turn 2.
Wrong Turn 2. Right there.
Wrong Turn was a piece of garbage, but somehow the DTV sequels have gathered a bit of credibility in the horror community. I figured, while in West Virginia, I might as well take in some of the local culture and watch a movie about inbred mountain cannibals in West Virginia. But Wrong Turn 2 gets down in there with the cannibal family. Not since The Hills Have Eyes and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre has a family of inbreeding monsters been so well dissected. There are some amazing moments of true what-the-fuckery that even I was blown away. Some 20-somethings making a Survivor-type reality show cross paths with mountain monsters. That's the plot. These egg-headed mutant twins were unbelievable. The sisters get jealous because she catches her brother jacking off in the woods to some hot teenager sunbathing. So she kills the girl and then wears the girl's face while the brother fucks her.
All right.
Wrong Turn 2 fucking goes there. Also, Henry Rollins is in it for some reason.
Money.
Last night I watched a fun little movie on Netflix called Dismissed. The kid from Big Daddy is grown up and threatening teachers for A's.
That's awesome. The Big Daddy kid?
This movie is hilarious and insane, and I had a blast. I can't believe how far it was willing to go. Definitely a fun watch. Sorry for the long-ass email, Drew. It's okay, Bill. Stay cool, Billy D.
The Big Daddy. I was wondering what happened to that kid recently.
Well, apparently he's making movies still.
Good for
him. Cheap horror movies.
I was looking at the Adam Sandler filmography, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about Big Daddy. Yeah. Everyone forgets about Big Daddy and Lil Nicky.
How can you forget about Lil Nicky?
Because it was so bad.
I mean, it was, but it was, like, insanely bad.
What was it? I don't remember it being that bad.
I remember it being just, like
what is
wow
this?
Bad.
All right, going back, he was talking about T'Challa and Killmonger and how, thank God, Killmonger is more electrifying. I read an interview with Bozeman where he was like, one of the big challenges he had with the role and the character is that...
Holding it back.
Not even holding it back, no, not necessarily. The fact that it's a character who is hard to root for. You have to find humanity in a character who's coming from a point of privilege.
Yeah.
He is doesn't have to earn his title. He doesn't have to earn being the Black Panther necessarily.
Yeah.
Because of the challenge or things he has to go through. But he's like born into it and raised to be this
person. Definitely.
So it's different from your typical hero arc, which Billy pointed out. So I'm interested in seeing what they do with that in the future Black Panther stuff. And then with Killmonger, it's like I'm still Team Killmonger because it is totally relatable and what he wants to do and the uprising. I'm all for the uprising. Watch your backs, white people. The race war is coming. We were afraid of the race war. Well, now it's coming because now we saw Wakanda's real. People are looking for Wakanda. We're gonna get that vibranium and then it's over.
Oh,
whites.
Dude, if we find vibranium, it's on.
It's over. It's on, and it's over.
Mm-hmm.
I think I talked about this on the show. I'm not even sure. I may have posted it in the Cinema Crespi, so Facebook group. but how the Killmonger's treatment of black women in the movie is very poor.
Oh,
and what it is, it's internalized white patriarchy because of the and the emasculating of black men, and how they see the power structure in order to become a man or regain their manliness or whatever. They internalize what they see as an example in the culture of powerful men, which is the white patriarchy, which treats black women very terribly. I'm still Team Killmonger, though. And that's all bad. He is a villain. He is a villain. And that stuff puts him, like, thoroughly in villainous territory, despite his ultimate intentions.
Well, the best villains always think they're doing the right thing.
Yes, they believe that they're doing the right thing, whether they are or not. Yeah, they are. Those are the best ones, absolutely. Bad CG, that is definitely the one thing everyone's harping on, this thing. The rubbery fight at the end, and, you know, it's these movies have it.
I figured it was going to happen. I mean, I was worried that it was going to be worse.
Yeah, I'm sure. But, it did throw $200 million at it. So.
I mean, I get it. But, it's just, guys got to do better. If it means you've got to work harder at practical effects than so fucking
deep. I don't even know if it... Yeah, practical effects for sure.
Because they last forever.
And
they always look good, no matter what.
They'll look better, and time is a big problem with the CGI.
Yeah. You
just don't have... Billy was saying, give it another pass. What if they were, like, rendering it 2 days before the movie came out? And, that's it. We literally... Cannot do another pass. Like, this is it. I'm sorry, guys. And then you're just like, fuck, just put it out. Also, no love for Hela from Bill. I love Hela.
Yeah, but she was
goddess of death. Come
I was about to say she was a great villain.
I thought she was fantastic.
I mean, she was Odin's right hand bitch.
Yeah, and she was like, we're bringing back colonialism. Yeah, she's the opposite of Killmonger.
Yeah, pretty much. She was like, fuck that. We are taking over the universe.
Yeah, we are the the colonists.
Oh, God, that's good stuff.
Wrong Turn 2. You remember Wrong Turn?
Vaguely,
and they made a second one. It's crazy. It's like how that Strangers movie,
what the fuck,
that sequel to that came out. Some idiot upstart young production company was like, this will be our big foray.
Hey, I mean, I guarantee you it turned a profit.
So an A24, they are nuts. Yeah, I guarantee that too. That reminds me of that trailer. I've seen it twice now. I know you've seen it. They put the production company's name in the title, which is maddening. Blumhouse's Truth or Dare, aka
I have seen the trailer.
Snapchat filtered the movie,
where
it's just they have crazy like Snapchat filter face, and then it's a Truth or Dare type thing, haunting.
Blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's a haunted Truth or Dare game.
Man, it's not even a board or anything. It's like
nope.
Danny Boyle, we've reported on the show before. Is a person. We've confirmed that.
Is alive.
He is in talks to be a person, to be recognized as...
He's finally going to be officially a person?
He's going to be recognized
as... a real boy?
A real boy. He's made out of wood. Did you not know that? Little cricket follows around, has a top hat. Anthropomorphic, very...
It's strange.
Off-putting. It's a disconcerting image. Danny Boyle, we reported on here, was in talks to direct the new James Bond movie.
Okay.
And, The idea was that these two guys, Neil Purvis and something Wade, known as Purvis and Wade, they've been writing bad blockbusters for years now, and also accidentally writing some decent ones. Their best ones are their Bond movies. And they've been writing all the Daniel Craig ones. And Danny Boyle's in talks to direct the last one, but he's like, I will only direct a screenplay that I approve of, and I'll only approve a screenplay that I co-write. I have a writer, but I want my own James Bond story.
Yeah.
And the producers, Eon Productions, the Salkinds, the Superman, the Broccoli producers, the Broccoli family, they're like, they're very rigid with their creative control of these things. But they've been loosening up, though, lately in the last couple of Bond movies. And it paid off in spades when they got Sam Mendes, the guy who did American Beauty, to do Skyfall, right? The only billion-dollar Bond film.
I was about to say.
And, the best reviews, too, of any Bond film, maybe since, like, GoldenEye. Mm-hmm. Although, Casino Royale was also well reviewed.
It wasn't bad. Casino Royale wasn't bad.
And people liked it a lot. Yeah. They liked it a lot. They caved. They are like, yes, Boyle, we will throw away this Wade and Purvis script that we paid for, and that which is the direction that we want to go in, and we will give you an opportunity to come up with your own story and do your own thing. So, Hopefully they write a story that they like real quick, and this will probably be Daniel Craig's last film as Bond, and Danny Boyle's gonna fucking do it.
Goddamn.
It's pretty wild. This could be potentially great.
Well, here's the thing, Chris. I mean, if that's the way that...
I like it.
I think the best way for James Bond mm-hmm. to continue on to be relevant and make money
yep.
is to switch it up.
Which is what they do periodically, right? Well, and no, we're I'm now not... at the end of the Craig era. But stylistically, you mean?
Stylistically, directorially, like we shouldn't have these... I don't think we should have these blocks of Bonds anymore, where it's like, you know, Daniel Craig is James Bond.
Right.
Like, they should be shopping the property around to talented writers and directors who want to make Bond films.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, okay, let's see what you got. Do we approve it or do we not? Let's make this movie.
Sure. Tarantino famously had an idea for a Bond movie like 10, 15 years ago.
Do you know how batshit insane. Awesome that would be?
It would be an insane
to
movie.
To see a Quentin Tarantino directed Bond film.
I agree. And you're going to come up with some weird duds and misfires that way. It's going to happen. Making movies is incredibly hard.
Yes. Insanely difficult.
So, but I like that idea. I'm fine with that. Although, I do like the idea of a person reprising the role for at least a couple of movies. You know, not all one-offs. It is up to them. But the last of the Craigs, this will make the fifth one for him. That's a good number. And there is, so like the whole homogenization of Bond, that's been because through most of the Moore years, going throughout the 80s, starting the 70s, throughout the 80s, and including the Dalton movies, I think, every James Bond movie was directed by a fellow named John Flynn, who isn't a terrible director at all.
He's just not great.
He's a workman. He's a journeyman director, and he's only as good as his material. Yeah. He can service a script, but he can't elevate it. You know, Danny Boyle, he's stylistic enough. He's like... He has the instincts. He has the cinematic instincts that can like help elevate material. But then again, he might still also make a Trainspotting too. You know, and Slumdog Millionaire. People are calling The Shape of Water like an overrated Oscar winner. Slumdog Millionaire, one of the biggest overrated Oscar winners in the last 15 years.
Slumdog Millionaire was good.
It was good. Perfectly fine. Good. I enjoyed it.
No.
I enjoyed it. Best picture of that year, though? I don't even know what came out that year. It wasn't the best one. Denis Villeneuve. Denis Villeneuve.
Mm-hmm.
It's French-Canadian. How do you say it properly, Drew? Denis Villeneuve.
Well, instead of Villa, it'd be V.
V.
And then Nueve.
Nueve.
Vinueve?
Nueve.
How do you pronounce Alejandro Jodorowsky?
I rewatched Jodorowsky's Dune, and it's Jodorowsky with a Y.
Yeah.
It's Jodorowsky with an H. It's Jodorowsky with a J. Just call me AJ. old Alex over here.
Yo, AJ.
Wants to do, I watched a documentary on, this is just for you, Drew. I watched a documentary on Netflix called My Life, directed by Nicholas Winding Refn, and it's his wife. Went with him to Bangkok, took the whole family for
it. I saw this.
Did you actually watch it?
I think I watched it.
It starts with the tarot reading by Jodorowsky sitting down with him. Then it does another one at the end. It's like, there's two tarot readings.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
this is awesome.
Refn's in Jodorowsky's Dune. He's like, I'm the only one who has this.
He told me about it.
Fucking book. And it's like, what?
Well, he doesn't have it, but he told him. He walked him through the whole thing. Anyway, Denis. I'm tying all this together, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Dune.
Mm-hmm.
That's his next movie. Yes. Yeah, confirmed.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's
going balls deep into this shit.
Oh, boy.
You have to, this could be
I'm gonna read this book.
This could be snatching defeat from the jaws of victory.
It could be. And just like totally. su ambición fui tremende.
Yeah.
He is making... Well, I'll just go ahead and read his quote. According to Villeneuve, Dune will probably take 2 years to make. The goal is to make two films, maybe more. So we are looking at Villeneuve not just making a Dune movie, but
he's making
dedicating a significant portion of his adult life and career to making Dune movies.
to telling the story of Dune however long it takes in whatever form it takes.
To tell the story of the spice. It's essential for space travel.
It is.
Some good drugs.
Man, I hope these are good. I just want them to be good. Just make good movies.
I know. I mean, apparently they're beloved books. I've never read a word of them.
I think there's only one, but it's massive. Well, there may be the offshoot type books too. Yeah. I don't know. But it's not like a series like Lord of the Rings or just one big ass dune.
I've seen the David Lynch movie. God, it's so weird.
And then there's
Fincher, not Lynch. Fincher.
No, Lynch, you're right.
Oh, it's Lynch.
You're right.
Okay.
It's Lynch. Yeah. And because that movie predates Fincher's first movie by like almost 15 years, I think.
It's so weird. Why is Sting even in the movie?
Because he's Sting. Because it's Gordy.
What was the point?
Because it's Gordy.
I know.
Kyle McLaughlin.
I get it. It's just so weird.
McLaughlin's, I say it. It's funny, not reading the book, but like knowing that movie and then watching the documentary, seeing the elements that do, like the giant sand snake worm thing, and like, oh, so this is what was pulled from it, and these are things that Jodorowsky made up. Nicolas Cage, Hollywood's most famous Superman fan. Also, maybe the world's most famous almost Superman. Right? They even made a documentary about it, about Tim Burton's Superman.
That would have been so weird.
That would have been so strange. Incredibly bizarre.
I mean, I get Tim Burton Batman. That I get. Like,
that makes sense. That made sense.
The
producers were like, well, he made this. This is a comic book, and that's a comic book. Comic books are comic books, right? They're pictures with word bubbles.
No.
People are stupid. Nicolas Cage finally getting to play Superman, Drew.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. In what?
In Teen Titans Go, the big screen version of the Teen Titans show.
Okay.
They're making a movie, and he will be voicing Superman.
Nice.
Singer-songwriter Halsey will be voicing Wonder Woman, and Green Lantern will be voiced by Lil Yachty.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. And why not?
It's
it's cartoon. It's seriously.
Teen Titans is a ridiculous show.
It is. I've been watching it for a while now, and one of my favorite parts of Teen Titans is like the little things in the background for the adults, where like
the references to all the other stuff.
The references to all the Batman and the Superman and all the other DC nonsense that's going on is actually quite hilarious.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, Batman and Commissioner Gordon like to get into shenanigans together. They're like little kids. It's so funny.
Well, they are little kids. Do you know of this Spider-Man side character called Nightwatch?
Maybe vampire of some sort?
I can't tell. Looking sort of spawny.
I think. Kind of spawny, yeah, like red cape, blank face, but not the white paint on his face, just like black.
Well, this one picture I'm looking at, he does have some, but yeah, red cape, black, yes, you're describing the same thing.
Yes, I am familiar with the character.
Okay, well, he is getting a movie, because Sony is continuing with this whole, we're making Spider-Man movies that don't feature Spider-Man.
Okay.
So we got Tom Hardy's Venom.
Yeah.
They've been working for a while on a Silver and Black, which is a Silver Sable Black Cat movie.
Okay.
But that just got like some delays recently. So
That movie's going to be ridiculous. That movie's going to be nothing but attractive women in skin tight uniforms.
That's going to be the point of it, right?
Yeah.
Nightwatch, described here as an African-American superhero, Kevin Trench, who one day finds an older version of himself dead in an alley and steals a technology-enhanced costume from himself to become the hero. Which, I like that. So that's actually fun.
Sweet. Well, at least you know when you die, and that when you do die, you're actually just starting all over.
Starting all over again. So it's like, circle of life. Delicious. The Sony hired a screenwriter. That screenwriter is, I don't know how to say this first name, Chio Hadari Coker. That is the showrunner for Luke Cage. Okay. And they also found themselves a director. You may have heard of him. His name is Spike Lee. Yes, Spike Lee is making a Sony superhero movie that's a Spider-Man offshoot character, Nightwatch. Written by the guy who does Luke Cage. not for nothing, Sony, at the very least, they're swinging for defenses on these
things.
They're
trying so hard,
They're taking Ruthian swings at these, and one of them is going to connect. Drew, one of them has to connect.
All right, so we get the hot black guy that's doing this, and...
And then legendary
And then a legendary black guy that does this. Mm-hmm. And hopefully when we mash them all together, mm-hmm. we'll squirt out something that's not a piece of shit.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. Give them enough rain, free rain to do what they gotta do. But you don't want to give them too much rope where they hang themselves. Also, don't use hang themselves analogies with black filmmakers. pulling the collar, not good. That was not good. Word choice is important.
Very.
Very important. Oh, boy. Man, a Spike Lee comic book movie sounds like a lot of fun.
I mean, it does, but, I mean, is he going to get... I don't want him to get all preachy in my fucking...
I do. I want him to get preachy.
Oh, so you want him to get all preachy up in the comic book movie.
Fuck yes. None of the other ones are. Why can't we have one that is? Give me one that is.
Fine. You know what? If you're just looking for one, might as well be Spike Lee's.
Thank you.
It might as well be a Spike Lee joint.
Give me the most righteous, angry dude. Give me the dude who made Do the Right Thing.
We'll find out. If it's called a Spike Lee joint, then we'll find. Then we'll know.
Then we'll know whether he believes in it.
Yeah.
If it's a Spike Lee film, stay away.
Yeah, exactly. Stay far away. But if it's a Spike Lee joint, fucking smoke that shit.
Ah, good stuff. All right, well, that's it for movie news. Stories. I finally watched Altered Carbon.
And? Yeah. Did you watch the whole thing?
I watched the whole thing.
And?
It took me like a week or so. That was good. Yeah, it was good. You know, it's definitely pastiche.
Yeah, like I said, it's like, it's all the greatest.
It's all the stuff you know.
It's all the greatest sci-fi ideas mm-hmm. of like the last 25 years. Yeah. Just smushed together into a fucking...
You know, obviously, the things that I like most about it are the new ideas that are brought to the table. I enjoyed the whole the stacks thing mm-hmm. and the DHF, that's what it was called. Yeah. Obviously, it's just another way to be like, what is a human with a soul? Yeah.
But it's interesting.
It's interesting. It's fun.
The swapping bodies things was fun.
Because it's like, how do you know who's who?
Yeah, that was fun. I think, and I hope that... If the show continues, mm-hmm. that they really play with that more.
Well, yeah, so... It's hard now. Netflix puts out so much stuff. How much time can pass before we can get into details? All right, no details. They did definitely give us a closed story for this one. But then gave you a little opening there at the end. Like, well, this is what the character is going to be doing.
Exactly.
So this is a story that we could follow.
Well, I mean, even still, I would be interested in another... story set in the same universe.
Yeah, I'm fine with... I don't think it's... Oh, well, yeah.
Like, we don't have
to... Oh, you mean that we don't even have to follow him? We could just come up a whole anthology style?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
But as long as we're set in, you know, Altered Carbon world.
I'd be fine with that. You know what I think would be cool? What show does this? American Horror Story style. All my same actors and actresses.
Oh, doing different stuff.
Doing different stuff, different roles.
I'd be down with that.
That'd be cool and fun. Even though, you know, Joel Kinnaman was okay, I guess.
He was okay.
He was fine.
Yeah. I like the...
I like
the Asian guy more.
Lung? The Ghost Walker?
No, the... Birth Takeshi.
Who? Which one?
Because we're following Takeshi Kovacs.
Kovac, the younger
birth
version.
Skin.
Yeah, the original one.
Yeah.
Original Kovac.
Original Kovacs.
I actually like the skin that he's in the beginning when he's like, all right, so what was up? All right, this isn't the first episode. Here's the thing that bothers me. And then, so there's a detail, but whatever. This isn't spoilery. First episode, he's, they're envoys, right?
Yeah.
Super special fighters.
Yeah.
He's in that hotel room.
Mm-hmm. He's looking through the walls.
He's getting that sense where these people are coming. What is this? And I was like,
this is cool.
And then when the Protectorate walks in, and you know, I'm a sucker for like masks and shit.
Oh, dude, those future masks with all the lights.
Yeah, those outfits were extremely intimidating. Uh-huh. I was like, whoa, these guys are badasses. And then he dispatches most of them so easily. Yeah. I was like, I guess they're not. They're just stormtroopers.
Yep,
pretty just
much.
Stormtroopers with updated shit. Then he's like seeing them through the walls. And he sends him, and he's like, charge. You got 3 seconds or less. I'm like, whoa, this guy is intense. I'm looking forward to following this dude's like antics. You know, if this is what we're gonna be doing. Never does it again.
Oh, no, when he's like, I don't know how many episodes in, but he's locked in a trunk. You see him.
That's the second to last episode.
That's the next time he does it.
And what was he even doing? I think
I forget what he was doing, but I remember the same thing.
He's in a trunk when he sends like a guard is outside or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it finally comes back, and I was like, oh yeah, I totally forgot about that shit.
He could have been using that so many times.
I know. Yeah.
That annoyed me. Yeah, true that. You're right, the AI Hotel is the best character.
Dude. Poe.
Easily the best character. Poe was great.
He was fucking great.
Poe was great, had the best character arc.
Yeah.
And then I was surprised by how much I liked the Lizzie stuff by the end.
Oh,
the girl.
The girl stuck in the...
The girl stuck in her own...
Yeah, yeah.
In her
and
stack.
Then at the, oh, yeah. And she then had the a she great evolves. Character arc.
Yeah, like...
She had a great arc,
when it was introduced, it was I was really like, it just good. It felt like such a throwaway thing when she was introduced. Yeah. And just a way to introduce other characters. But then, like, they slowly developed it into something else. I was like, this is like... Fucking her under the skin type shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
This
yeah,
is really good.
It is.
And she was like, you're going to die. Or me. I can't.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's all just kind of there. I forget the sequence of things.
Yeah. Remember things backwards from Dr. Manhattan. I love that stuff. The whole idea of time is not linear. And, so things like that was what I liked the most. And then when they cut to like obvious like street scenes straight out of like the Blade Runner like cutscene stuff. I was like, okay, guys, you could at least like added something. It's like, all right,
nope.
I get it.
Nope. Neon blue, neon pink. Everywhere.
Everywhere. Signs everywhere. Yeah. It's raining.
Yeah, like, all the time.
I mean, at least in Blade Runner 2049, it was snowing. And they changed it to snow.
Yeah, well, you know what they like.
Like, change it.
And they were pandering to us.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't like being pandered to. I don't like it. I realized that a while ago. I don't like being... That's why I don't like fan service. I don't like being pandered to.
Yeah.
I think it's part of why I like Last Jedi so much. Because it took away the pandering.
Mm,
so
yeah.
We're going to blow up the Skywalker stuff.
That first episode was so...
It was the exact opposite. It was fan service central.
It was the entire movie was fan service.
The whole thing was like, hey, remember lightsabers? Uh-huh. I remember Harrison Ford? Remember this? Remember that? And the next one was like, oh, you like that Kylo Ren
fuck
mask?
All that shit.
Smash! It's like, oh, you think Luke Skywalker's gone? Oh, you care about...
nope!
You care about this character's backstory? Just get the... boring! Been there, done that. We're doing something new. I like that.
Yeah.
I think Last Jedi is gonna... Weird plot structure aside, and that middle part that's like a little
wonky.
I think that aside, it's gonna age well. But the next movie is gonna have to do a lot to fix the problem of episodes 7 and 8 seemingly taking place over the course of 1 week.
I know, right?
maybe a week and a half.
Maybe.
They sort of did the same thing with Black Panther and Civil War accidentally, I think, and not even realizing it, where now it looks like Black Panther takes place in the days after Civil War.
Like right after.
Immediately. Maybe even slightly concurrently. Like, while Black Panther's doing this thing over there, they're fighting
going on
over there.
Yeah.
Movies. All right, guys, we're done here. We'll be back this weekend with Ed Irvin from State of the Beer Union and Tomoka Beer. Drew, be prepared
for beer
to drink some beers. I told him you're not the biggest fan of IPAs,
correct.
So he's taking that into account.
Oh, very nice. Thank you, sir.
He gave us a heads up this time and asked for preferences. So I said, I'll drink any swill you put in front of me at least once.
No.
You're not a fan of IPAs. Nope. So here we go. We're going to have a good time. We're going to drink some beers. We're going to talk movies. And we're going to have a lot of fun. That's a really good show, State of the Beer Union. I'm not just saying that, too, because it's on our network. It's actually... I'm enjoying it. Listen to the latest episode today. They interviewed Paul, who owns a West End out there in Celery City.
Yeah.
They did their first mobile show recorded on the stage at West End. And they spoke for like, it was like an hour and 20 minute show. It was really good.
Very nice.
Very enjoyable. Good stuff. Shout out to those guys. And we had Leslie Joe on recently. Now we're going to have Ed. We're going to finish that one up. It's going to be great. And anything you want to plug, Drew? Where are you going to be at this weekend?
I'm going to be doing some work on my condo. So I'll be there.
So if you want to help him with that, hit him up. Send him an email. DrewNeedsHelp@condoworkers.org. follow us, join our Facebook group. How about that? Just join the Facebook group, Cinema Crespity. So that's all I'm going to plug right now. Join the Facebook group. Join the Space Army.
Oh, the Space Army.
Yeah, man. We got to watch out for them bugs.
I saw...
them bugs.
Somebody posted something on Facebook. It was a tweet of somebody that said, I can't believe that I finally have a president who fucks porn stars and wants a space army, and I still hate him.
I still hate him, right? Right?
It's like, God damn it. I mean, in Easter, like, space army sounds great. Fucking porn stars sounds fantastic. Why does Donald Trump have these ideas?
Space, why do you need a space army?
We don't need a space army.
To fight
but
the
aliens? It's a fun idea when you think about it.
Like
7-year-old me is like, greatest president ever!
Yeah, space army, yeah. He wants to arm the teachers and the astronauts.
Yeah, what the fuck? What the fuck? I'm pretty sure...
That's our presidency right there.
So, a buddy of mine at work has a theory that CERN came online for the first time, it broke us off into an alternate fucking dimension. Like, it shattered that moment in time into all of the many spectrums that, and we've shot off into one of these side fucking universes.
Into a side one? And what came online?
CERN. The Large Hadron Collider.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah. He thinks that actually caused... a small big bang that created a whole entire universe.
Interesting.
And maybe that's where maybe it created us.
Well, I mean, time is not linear. Mm-hmm. So, and actually, some experiments have been done to prove that time flows backwards. We talk about this now. So, CERN being created when was that? Went online like almost 10 years ago now, right?
Yeah.
That then created this universe.
Shattered like imagine there's like a beam of light going into a prism.
Yeah.
Yeah. When the beam of light was history as we know it, CERN got turned on, prism immediately. Everything else.
But then it's affecting all of time, all of dimensions. So all dimensions then do they all have the same history up to a point? Or is it all a varied history that still leads up to CERN?
I mean, CERN still has to be turned on.
CERN still has to be made and turned on.
Yeah, that's his hinge point of his entire theory. So
then the theory sounds like, so we have history, history, history. We have a universe. CERN, prism. From that point forward.
A, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16,
17. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
So on and so forth. We happen to be living. Chris, we made it to the one where Donald Trump became president.
Man. You know that's not the worst one.
Oh, no, it's got to be worse.
You know it's not the worst
one. I mean, this is pretty bad, but it's got to be worse, right? I mean,
we still have tickets for Avengers Infinity War in a month, so it can't be the worst one. We didn't watch that trailer, by the way. I'm not going to watch it. Unless I go to a movie and it's playing on a big screen in front of me, then I'm like, all right, now I'll watch it.
If I happen to see it on the television, then so be it.
I can turn away from a television.
I mean...
I can go blah, 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 blah. I try to put my fingers...
Well, the thing is, like, I won't even realize it until, like, halfway through, and I'll just be like, oh! It's that Avengers trailer.
They're going to sneak them out at you. Yeah. I was scrolling through Twitter.
I mean, I get it.
I was just scrolling through... Facebook. I was scrolling through Facebook, and then I rolled through a post where here's a trailer. It starts autoplaying. I'm like, nope, keep going. I'm avoiding that shit. I don't want to see this trailer for the first time on my phone. I can see a still image that's on an article. Goes, you know, people parse this shit left and right. It's a still image of the one thing I really want to see. Thanos, he's got a planet, and it's behind him. And he's like, I'm going to fucking throw this thing at you.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that shit on my phone.
No.
My phone?
I want to see the biggest screen I can possibly see.
Possibly.
Do we have something as large as a planet that I can watch this on?
That would be fantastic.
Can we...
Just got to get far back.
Can I go see Avengers Infinity War at the planetarium?
Ooh. No. Could see that at the old IMAX, at the EMAX, but we already got our tickets.
I'm not driving all the way out there for fucking Avengers.
Yeah, this is more of a convenience thing rather than, although, is it?
I mean, if this is Christopher Nolan's Avengers, then yeah, I'll go see it on that fucking IMAX.
Which one is it? I don't think, is it this
one? But I don't think it is, so.
I do think this movie was shot entirely with IMAX cameras.
Good for them.
Yeah, which is cool. But it's the Russos, though. They're the guys who were behind the show Community, not the movie Dunkirk. So, yes. I am very conservative with my IMAX camera widgets.
I mean,
they should have put Phantom Thread in the IMAX. It was shot on 70mm.
Like, I'm trying to think.
It's practically the same thing.
I'm trying to think. I think the majority of the movies that I've seen at the IMAX were actually Christopher Nolan movies. Now that I think about
about it.
Dark Knight, Interstellar, and Inception were the main three. Shot with IMAX cameras. Mm. And then I saw Michael Bay's Transformers, something or other. And that was one where scenes were shot because they saw him gotten to IMAX cameras. So haven't gotten that far.
It blew up all of a sudden. I remember that.
Whereas the Nolan had entire scenes with IMAX, so entire scenes were blown up.
Yeah.
Bay had the genius idea of, we're going to cut back and forth from shots that used the normal widescreen and the IMAX format. So we're watching.
Super goes, big.
Super big. Super small. Big. Small. Big. Small. And I'm just like, you don't understand why this is special. You're ruining it. Since then, I don't think I've seen anyone else bother with those cameras. It's like, fuck you guys. The only other special format that we've seen was that super wide.
Documentary.
The Terrence Malick documentary. Yeah. What was it? History of Time?
Something like that. What,
I forgot what it was called.
Was ours narrated by Brad Pitt or was ours narrated by the other person?
We got the other person, I think, was Cate Blanchett. And we got the Brad Pitt narration. Yeah, the colder Brad Pitt narration. And it was also a shortened version of the movie, which was fine by me.
Yeah, as long as fuck, it was, goddamn, it was beautiful.
It was gorgeous, not as great. And that was super wide. Yeah. And there was a gigantic theater. And we were 205 people.
So, Chris, remember how last week I talked about One Strange Rock, that Darren Aronofsky Nat Geo thing?
Oh, yeah.
I found out something even crazier about it.
What was that?
Narrated by Will Smith.
Oh, all right, fun.
What the fuck is going on?
The distinctive voice of Will Smith.
And if you go on Darren Aronofsky's Instagram, you can Nat Geo did a special viewing last week for some people somewhere.
Oh, cool.
But they're wearing like the most awesome it's a space helmet, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But the space helmet is the TV screen. So like you'll see pictures. Oh man, I want to show you.
So everyone's at a screening but they're watching on their own personal screens on their face
that surrounds their entire head.
That is weird.
But it makes for some really cool pictures.
Yeah, because of a bunch of space people sitting around.
Yeah.
I bet you Trump saw that picture. He's like, Space Army.
Ha!
Space Army, no, we're doing it.
You're probably right.
This is a genius idea. My Trump is terrible. I don't want to do a good Trump. I know it's bad to wish this sort of thing, but man, I hope he strokes out soon.
I know, right?
And just spends the rest of his days laying in a hospital bed waiting for the federal investigation to finish so that he can be put away in prison for the rest of his life. That is
Skrull.
Weird Skrull. As fuck.
Isn't that amazing?
And the way they're like, they're slumped forward. Dude. This is dystopian.
It's so weird.
Oh my god, this is Videodrome.
It's so weird. Long live the new flesh, buddy.
This is Videodrome. Oh my god.
Your entire head is surrounded by audio, but it's nothing but sensory input.
If you want to see this, just go to Instagram, Darren Aronofsky, one word. Holy cow.
Yeah, dude.
There's people in the back watching, like they're standing there at attention. That's creepy. Creepy. So creepy. Oh my god.
Yeah,
that's an insane image. That is an insane image.
I know. It makes for, like I said, it made for some really good pictures.
Yeah, it did. Art. Movies. Okay. We said goodbye like 6 minutes ago.
That's fine.
Okay. That's it. Have you heard the new Lil Pump?
No. Is that the thing you posted the other day? That All Bangers No Mash?
Yes. Did you listen to it?
No, I don't.
Oh, God, so good.
Play it then. Play that little punk, Chris. Now, there's a song that is playing at the beginning of Atlanta, episode one from this season. That I've been listening to the past couple of days.
Oh yeah.
And then I remembered, fuck, every time I watch Atlanta I have to have my Shazam out because it's gonna be an awesome song. I'm just gonna be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, that's
I've never heard this before. What the fuck is this?
That's how I started listening to the Aquatics. Called I Shine.
Look at my neck shine. Look at my wrist shine, chill. My diamond might make you blind, chill. Let him in five at a time, ooh. I just be smoking on dope, chill. All of my diamonds
I froze. Ooh, Louis don't add to my toes. I jump up by the stove. Yeah. Look at my neck shine. Yeah. Look at my wrist shine. Yeah. Fuck up, it's 2 times. Yeah. Pussy with 2 5. Ooh, no, I cannot lie. Ooh, look at my neck shine. Yeah. Look at my wrist shine. I think I got too high. Ooh, look at my neck shine. Gucci goggles on, so I got 4 eyes. Just smoking on gelato. Yeah, I got it from Dubai. Benny on Big Lou, y'all on bow tie. 4 phone holes in there. Yeah, I can't lie. Smash her and her sister at the same time. Tell her bust it up, we gotta do it on FaceTime. Fucking on the 5 eye, booty in daytime. Ooh, look at my wrist, I'm like, ooh, yeah. She saw my dick on the Instagram. Coach said, you know who I am. Yeah, that first cost 100 band. Ooh, pop a V9, break open. Right wrist so wet, look like the ocean. One girl gave me top, told her I had to smoke it. Lil Pump said, right game.
A PFT Media production.